Who were the first to hear the news that Jesus Christ had been born? Well, Luke tells us. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, now they were in the same country shepherds, living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. It was to shepherds that an angel of the Lord came and spoke to them of good tidings of great joy. Luke tells us about the shepherds because there is something significant of the fact that shepherds were the first to hear the news of the birth of Jesus. Important because in the days of Jesus, shepherds were social outcasts. They were people on the edges of society. So, for example, shepherds were not allowed to testify in trials in a court, because shepherds were considered untrustworthy, liars. And even their work of keeping sheep made them ceremonially unclean. So the shepherds were outcasts. And that idea of good news for outcasts is a scenario that recurs in Luke's gospel. It's something that Luke often highlights. The Lord Jesus himself often had dealings with people who were considered to be outcasts. People who were not proud, not self-sufficient, not arrogant, but people who were aware of their need. People who were aware of their sins. People who were aware of their failures. Some years ago, I was travelling in Ghana with our friend Oliver. And as we passed a certain church building, I said to Oliver, stop, stop. So he stopped and he pulled the car up the side of the road. I said, look at that sign. And there was a sign outside the church, Winner's Chapel. I said to Oliver, if I could put up a church next door to that church, I'd put up a church next door and I'd put a sign up, Loser's Chapel. Because I said, the church is not just for people who think they're winners. In fact, you could say the opposite. The church is for those who are aware of their need before God. So it's important for Luke to tell us the angel came to shepherds, proclaiming for them, to you is born this day in the city of David, a descendant of King David, the great king, King David, who was himself a shepherd. So there's a reminder here of the family line that Jesus came from. And good news first is announced to shepherds. And another reason it's important that the Bible tells us that good news is announced to shepherds, is that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, consistently, shepherd is a picture that's used of God. We, his people, his flock, his sheep, because like sheep we go astray. We need a shepherd. So these shepherds would have been familiar with the Old Testament scriptures where God is described as a shepherd for his sheep. We read Psalm 23. The Lord, the covenant God, Yahweh, the Lord, is my shepherd. Which is why it's so significant then that when the Lord Jesus came into this world, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I'm known by my own. And the writer to Hebrews takes up that theme and he says, the God of peace brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And Peter reminds us that this one who is the shepherd will return to this world one day in glory. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So shepherds were the first to hear this news, the Messiah's birth. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. All people. And so I'm asking tonight, do you see someone who needs a saviour? Someone who senses your need before God? Or are you saying, I'm self-sufficient, I'm good enough as I am, I don't need a saviour? The angel announces this news not to a king, not to a palace, not to the temple priests, not to the Sadducees, not to the Pharisees, to shepherds. And in that we learn something then of the grace of God. It's something that is played out in the Gospels. Luke goes on to tell us, Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, no need of a doctor. But those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And Matthew in his Gospel and Mark in his Gospel, they repeat the same message of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus said, he hadn't come for people who thought that they were fine, they were winners, they were already righteous. No, he came for people who knew, who were aware, who admitted that they were sinners. Jesus was not suggesting that there's a class of people who are not sinners, but he's saying there are people who think, they imagine, they think that they're not sinners. They don't need a saviour. People who say, I don't need the grace of God. Sadly, in Israel's time, and sadly in our time, many of those people are very religious. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, he's come for sinners. People like these shepherds. So it's shepherds who hear this announcement. Good news, they hear it with faith and joy. Now, I think we need to just pause and think for a moment, because we live in a society that thinks in terms of entitlement. Society thinks we are owed everything. We are entitled. But when it comes to God, that sense of entitlement kills gratitude. If we think tonight we are owed the grace of God, we are owed the mercy of God, we are owed the love of God, God must love wonderful people like us, then we'll never be ready to receive grace. It's only when someone knows that he or she needs grace, undeserved kindness, that that person is ready to appreciate grace and ready to receive grace. Grace that is offered to you tonight in the gospel. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to a person who is aware of his or her need, that there is good news for those who can't earn or deserve or merit forgiveness from God, but it's a free gift through Jesus Christ. But if your understanding tonight is that you're actually a pretty good person and you're entitled to salvation, you never will understand grace and you won't understand the gospel. Which is why I need to remind myself and remind every one of us. You can't actually be a member of Kensett Evangelical Church if you think you're a pretty good person. It's not a good idea to let people who think they're pretty good people to be members of the church, because the only people who can be members of the church are people who know that they're sinners. Sinners who justly deserve God's displeasure but have received undeserved grace, forgiveness, mercy, kindness. But when you see your need, you're ready to respond to the glorious and unexpected and lavish grace of God in the gospel. So as we hear this news announced to shepherds, let's look first of all at proclamation. Proclamation. Luke chapter 2 and verse 9. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, before the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. How terrifying this event was for these shepherds. If you'd have been even a long way away from them, I think you might have heard their shrieks. Luke says they were greatly afraid. An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And there was a sense in, of course, they were perfectly right to be afraid, because they were sinful men like you and me, guilty before a holy God, and now the glory of Almighty God shines around them. And they must have thought, is this the judgment day? That must have gone through their mind. The shepherds were terrified. as the glory of the holy, holy, holy Lord God surrounded them. Now that's always what our sin does when it brings us into the presence of God. Our sin makes us aware of our guilt before a holy God. Which is why what the angelic messenger told the shepherds is such good news. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. These words are such stunning words. The baby to be born, the one who's been born, is the Messiah. The Christ. The one the Father ordained from all eternity to send into this world, to secure our rescue. The Lord of glory, born of a virgin, laid in a manger that night in Bethlehem. In one person, in Jesus Christ, joined together indissolubly, God and man. And the angels are told, this is the Lord. That's why you can trust him for salvation as your saviour, because the one who died on the cross for our sins is the Lord. Christ, the Lord, is born to you. These shepherds, outcasts in the fields, but he's born to you, the angel says. And have you seen that with the eye of faith tonight? Born to you, born for you. This perfectly sufficient saviour, able to save you, he's for you. If you will have him, he's for you. For you. For me. For you. So the angelic choir splits the skies with this praise. The announcement of a Saviour's birth. A Saviour is born to you. Heaven burst with wonder at the birth of this child. This Saviour sent on a mission by the Father, so that there's no possibility that his saving work will fail, because he's Christ the Lord. And that means tonight you can absolutely trust him. You can have absolute confidence tonight that if you entrust yourself to Jesus Christ, he is a perfect rescuer and redeemer and saviour and king and Lord. God has given an indescribable gift in his son Jesus Christ, and he's for you, for yours for the taking. I'm saying, have you taken by faith this gift of Christ as your saviour, your Lord? And after the angels left them, the shepherds went to see where the baby who had been born. They went to see the baby for themselves. You notice the sign for the shepherds was not a star. The sign for them was there would be a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, but the big sign lying in a manger. That cattle trough. And when they found the baby lying in a manger, when they'd seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. It was just as the angel had told them. And they told everyone who would listen the same message that the angel had given them. A Saviour has been born who is for all people. Christ the Lord. We have good news for everybody in the world. So the measure, if something of the reality of what God has done in sending Jesus Christ into this world has really captured your heart. Yes, there is thanksgiving. We can loudly sing Christmas carols. There's excitement about giving and receiving Christmas presents, perhaps, or being with family. But whether the joy of Jesus Christ coming into the world has really captured your heart is whether you tonight have accepted for yourself and proclaim good news. The Son of God, Jesus, the Saviour of the world, has come in a world of unrelenting bad news. We are people who have some good news to tell. And it's for all, for everyone, for all people. So we can go and tell everyone, Jesus Christ, the Saviour, is born, born for you. So part of our response to Jesus coming into the world is proclamation. We proclaim, we make it known. A rescuer has come who can deal with our biggest problem. Sin, guilt, shame. But we can know forgiveness, pardon, peace, be reconciled to God. If you will entrust your life tonight to Jesus Christ, we proclaim there is a Savior for you. Proclamation. The second word I want to think about is celebration. Proclamation, celebration. When the angel had finished speaking, the heavens exploded with light and joy and song, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I sort of picture the angels listening in to that first announcement when the angel of the Lord came. They were ready, and then they just simply could not hold back. They split the night sky with light and joy and song. They sing glory to God. They were giving all the glory back to God. And the glory of the Lord shines, and all praise is given to God. Peace on earth, not peace in the sense of the end of warfare, but the peace that comes through the gospel. That we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The enmity between sinful human beings and God is dealt with by a Savior. We are reconciled to God through the death of his Son. And this announcement, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, it reminds us there is what we could call a weightlessness of God in our modern society. And I fear sometimes even in the modern church. The Old Testament word for glory carries with it the idea of weightiness. The weightiness, the awareness of the greatness, the majesty, the holiness of God. The weightiness of God. Now our society has lost that. No fear of God. And sometimes if someone at the end of the service says to you, "Well, I didn't get anything out of that service this morning or tonight," we could answer and say, "Well, actually, services in the church are not about us. They're not about us and our feelings. They're about God. God, his glory." Have you ever sensed anything of God's glory? And you've lost your voice, and you've caught your breath at the thought that the God of glory, the God who is majestic and holy, the creator of the ends of the earth, God of weightiness, would send his Son to save a sinner like you. Is your mind open tonight to the idea that the God of heaven, the God who sends his Son into this world, is the God of glory? When you catch something of that, there is a joy inexpressible and full of glory. A joy unspeakable. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now that phrase, goodwill toward men, has been trivialized. It's been trivialized to mean something like showing deeds of kindness, giving presents, being nice, the so-called Christmas spirit. And while there may be a place for all those things, you're all well aware that every effort has been made in Western culture, and particularly in British culture, to diminish anything of the controversial aspects of Jesus Christ coming into this world. Goodwill toward men, the Christian message, has been trivialized, made sentimental, harmless, even not really Christian. Distorted to sound as if God gives peace to those who deserve it. We are such nice people, we deserve peace from God. God shows his goodwill to us because we deserve it. Now that's not what the angels were saying at all. What the angels were saying to the shepherds, that peace was being brought from heaven through a Messiah, the incarnate Son of God, who would make peace through the blood of the cross. And that was for people upon whom God's favor rests. The message of the angels is saying something about the glory, the sovereignty, the divine initiative of God God bestowing his blessing on those he chooses, those who turn to him in repentance and faith. The angels were singing the glory, the sovereignty, the greatness of God. The song of the angel calls us this evening to put our trust in Jesus Christ, to offer him praise, to offer him worship, to offer him adoration, to give God glory. So we notice what the angels were busy doing. The angels were busy with the praise of God. The very thought of Jesus coming into the world set the angels singing. Well, with a week to go to Christmas Day, what are you busy doing? What are we busy doing? We might be concerned. We're too busy. We're busy getting ready for Christmas. Or we're busy buying presents. Or we're busy getting ready to entertain family or friends. Or we're busy because there's some problem. We're busy, 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 busy. Busy, squeezed by the pressures of Christmas time. But what were the angels busy doing? They were busy praising God. That's a good lesson to learn from the angels, isn't it? We could adopt the angelic priority. Busy giving praise to God. And we should also remember that something like this scene will be repeated again. There will be a second occasion in human history when a countless company of the heavenly host means like the armies of heaven, angels in rank upon rank, row upon row, will again appear in glory to a watching world. And we live, as it were, in the time between two angelic choruses. The angels sang at the first coming of Jesus Christ. They will sing again at the second coming of Jesus Christ. He will come in glory with an innumerable company of the heavenly host. Jesus will come back. But he will come back not only as Savior to bring to its fulfillment the saving work he's done in believing hearts, but he'll come as judge to pronounce God's just sentence upon those who refuse to trust in Jesus Christ and live in rebellion against God. But the angels will appear again. And we who know and trust Jesus Christ will join them in celebration. And my question then tonight is to you, will you join them? Will you belong to that great company out of all the nations in the world? The unsinning angels and redeemed men and women from all the nations, together singing the praises of the Savior who was born that first Christmas. When he comes back, when he returns in glory, when the angelic host again appears in the sky at the second coming of Jesus Christ, will you be taken by surprise? Shocked, horrified, ashamed, outside. Not a glad reception, not a glad embrace of Jesus Christ your Savior, but to hear the just sentence of Jesus Christ your righteous judge. We all live tonight. You live, I live between those two angelic choruses. And it's possible for you tonight, if you've never done so before, to embrace in faith Jesus Christ, because the angels announce he's God's gift for us to a sinner like you and me. He's the sinner we so urgently need to find peace with God. This joy captured the hearts of the shepherds. Luke chapter 2 verse 20, we are told, then the shepherds, after they'd seen the baby lying in a manger, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they'd heard and seen, as it was told them. So not just angels can sing this song, sinners saved by grace can sing this song. Can you sing this song? Do you celebrate Jesus Christ tonight as your Savior, your King? God's only begotten Son, but you celebrate because whoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish, but will have everlasting life. So this proclamation, celebration, and then thirdly, meditation. Verses 18 and 19. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them. She meditated on them. She turned them over in her mind and in her heart. She pondered them in her heart. Some people hear something about Jesus Christ and his coming into the world at Christmas time. And they understand someone called Jesus was born a long time ago. But that's it. Christmas comes, it's over, that's it. But Mary, what did she do? She did more than that. She pondered, she thought it over, she meditated on it, meditated upon it in her heart. Now by meditate, I don't mean she emptied her mind and thought of nothing and did some special sort of breathing. That's nothing to do with Christian meditation. But she pondered, she took the truth and she took it to heart. She thought hard and long and seriously about it. Someone's asked this question, what do you think about when you're not thinking about anything? That's a good question I was asked the other day. What do you think about when you're not thinking about anything? When you hadn't planned to think about something, when nothing is pressing you to think about something in particular, what do you think about? In other words, what do you ponder? What do you get excited about? What does your mind turn to in those quiet moments? What moves you? You notice what Mary did. As I say, Christian meditation. It's nothing to do now with emptying your mind. I'm not talking about that. Controlling your breathing. I'm not talking about that. That's not Christian meditation. Christian meditation treasures, ponders the truth. Turns it over in the heart. You treasure the truth proclaimed, the good news, and then you ponder it. You don't just dismiss it. You ponder it. You dwell on it. You turn it over. You see it from every angle, every facet. You get every ounce of soul-nourishing, saving truth you can from the truth of the Word of God. And part of our delight as we read these accounts of the birth of Jesus Christ, yes, to proclaim them, yes, to celebrate them, but to treasure that truth, ponder it in your heart. In other words, you preach Jesus Christ to yourself. You talk to yourself about Jesus Christ. You say, this is the Saviour I need. This is the Saviour who came for me. This is the Saviour who died for my sins. This great stoop of Jesus Christ from the realms of glory coming into this world. And it was for me. And you ponder it in your heart. You see, we all need wisdom from God. We're coming towards the end of a year. We're going to have a new year. Where are we going to find resources of grace to trust in and live for Jesus Christ? Well, one important part of that is to emulate Mary here and do more than just hear the word of God, but keep God's word. Treasure it. Ponder it in the heart. Press the good news about Jesus Christ as your Saviour, your only hope. Press it down, down, down into your heart until it takes root there and it permeates and changes you and shapes you so that your life will be to the praise and glory of God, God your Saviour. So you tell about yourself about it again and again. You say there's good news for the world. We can proclaim it. There's good news, we can celebrate it, but there's good news for me. There's good news for you. You think about it, you ponder it. You say, I have a Saviour, I have a King. Jesus is God's perfect provision for my every need. So here's the third great challenge of these verses tonight. Yes, we tell the world that Jesus has come to save his people from their sins. Yes, we celebrate the birth of that Saviour. But then you say to yourself, I'm going to ponder the truth. Take it to heart. It may be you need to resolve to read the Bible every day. Over this Christmas period and into the new year, that you'll daily ponder the person and work of Jesus Christ. You'll make reading the Bible part of your daily discipline, part of your normal routine. The heartbeat that animates your Christian life. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is for all people. The announcement is made. A Savior has been born, Christ the Lord. So yes, let's proclaim him to the world. You can tell your neighbor. You can tell your friend. You can tell your colleague in work. You can tell the person you meet in the street. You can tell anyone everywhere. There is a Savior for you. Let's celebrate Jesus Christ's first coming as we await his second coming. But oh, let's take it to heart. Let's ponder, treasure, turn it over in heart and mind for our own soul's salvation, but also for our growth in grace and the knowledge of the truth, more Christ-likeness, more love for Jesus Christ, more zeal to serve him, more honouring of Jesus Christ in every part of life. And then we will know God's blessing through this Christmas time and on into a new year as we ponder. It's a great challenge what Mary did. Mary kept all these things. Will you keep all these things? And she pondered them in her heart. So I'm saying, don't go out through the door and say, that's it, message gone, let's move on. Now you take that truth and you turn it over in your mind and heart. And it's a heart work that God does. When by the Holy Spirit you're taken out of sin and guilt and shame and you're given a new heart that trusts in, loves and desires more and more of Jesus Christ. The awareness of the presence of Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, your Savior, your King, tonight and always. A Savior born for you. So let's pray together. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you that we have good news to proclaim. A Savior who came to seek and to save the lost. We thank you we can celebrate the birth of this Savior. We celebrate tonight this amazing grace of God in his provision for us. But teach us also what it means to learn from Mary long ago, who kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. May we be people, Lord, who take the truth of what you reveal to us in your word and keep it, ponder it in mind and heart and life. Forgive us, Lord, when we are hearers of your word but not doers of it. Help us to be those who are people who ponder these truths in these busy days leading up to Christmas time and on into a new year, but God having first place, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Pondering these things in our heart that Jesus Christ might be believed upon and honored, worshipped, adored, praised in our lives, and every part of our life be filled with the praise of this Savior King. So, Lord, help us. We ask all these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn is from a different hymn book. So it's not from our hymn book, it's from the Praise Hymn Book. It's a hymn that reminds us, in a society where Jesus Christ is rejected, those who believe upon him embrace him as the Savior King, but earth gave him no welcome. And we stand to sing this as our closing hymn.
Thank you.
pray together. Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, tonight and even forevermore. Amen.